This podcast is part of the Other Side Podcast Network. And welcome to Maker's Corner episode 3. My name is Yannick, I'm the French guy from Switzerland, and joining me tonight, as usual, from the other side of the Atlantic, is my friend Nate. Good evening, Nate, or good afternoon for you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, it's not as cold as it usually is, so my furnace isn't working quite as hard, and work is keeping me busy. So what more can I complain about, or not complain about?
Yeah, I noticed that the days are you know, getting longer.
Yes,
light is coming back, and that's always good on the mind. On this episode tonight, probably a shorter episode than what we expected, because we had planned for an interview with John and Phil from Pimoroni. To talk about the 32-bit. Unfortunately, John was ill last week, so we didn't get to record this interview. Hopefully, we will have time to record that before the next episode, and it's just postponed. But so tonight I have a project report to make. Progress and failure, as I mentioned in the show notes.
I always like it when you share your failures, because I feel better about mine. So please do expound upon your failures.
Yeah. And yes, I guess, Nate, you have stuff to talk about, web hosting and stuff like that. So, progress and failure. I talked in episode 0 about a project I was working on and off those past weeks, month. I decided this weekend to actually finish this project, and it's a radar of some sort. So it's for my garage. When I park my car, I have a couple of shelves in front of the car, and I often parked too close from the shelf. So what I wanted is just a small device that would detect the distance from the shelves to the car, and then have some kind of display. So what I have now, I 3D printed a round enclosure, a circle, with a clear front, and I put in there, I don't know, but 16 RGB LEDs. And I used a Node MCU. So that's a very, very small single board computer. Well, not computer, it's a microcontroller, in fact. I think it's based on, is it? It's an ESP8266. And it's Wi-Fi, and it has lots of GPIO connections. And to get the distance from that object to the car, I used a distance sensor, an ultrasonic distance sensor. So it was a HCSR04. So how that works? There's four pins there, of course. VCC, ground, and then there's a trigger and an echo pin. So when you send a pulse, one pulse to the trigger pin, it sends a ultrasound pulse from one of those the things on the sensor. I don't know if I have one here to show. Nate, do you have the link, I guess. So in the link, you can see that there's like, it's like a robot eyes, a pair of eyes. So from one of those, there's a train of ultrasonic waves that goes away. It bumps on the car and comes back, and the other one sends that. And then the echo pin is, well, it changes states. It doesn't matter if it goes low or high. And then you can, you know, by measuring the time between the trigger and the time the wave comes back, you can determine the distance it traveled, and then you divide that by two, and you have the distance between the sensor and the object. So,
well, that sounds fancy.
Yeah,
there's a lot of calibration you have to do to make sure you get the bounce and everything right.
That's one of the smallest failure. Is that in fact this is not really really precise. So even if there's a non-moving object in front of it, sometimes it will tell you it's for example, you put an object at 20 centimeters from it, and then sometimes it will tell you it's 1 meter away, and sometimes it will tell you it's 10 centimeters away. So I had to find some formula. I had to balance the number of measures and the time it would take to get something that's reasonable. So I ended up doing 10 measurements and then getting the average of that, which is okay. I mean, when I park my car, I don't drive at 20 kilometers an hour in my garage, so that was okay for this usage.
So what you're saying is you don't drive in like Batman does and just screech to a halt. Hockey stop your car into the garage.
Yeah, I kind of drive very slow, but it doesn't prevent me from hitting the shelves anyways from time to time. So yeah, the NodeMCU is not really fast, and the sensor it needs a few seconds of pause between each measurement. So it was okay for what I wanted to do. My problem is that I don't know what I did, but the sensor doesn't work anymore. So it's always sends back either zero or some kind of fixed but random number. So I don't know what happened. I tried it with two other microcontrollers and I had the same result, so I have now declared this sensor dead, and it's going to join the other dead things I have around here. Well,
the pile of dead things.
Yeah, to be honest, I got that from a very, very, very cheap price from the Far East, and I guess what I got, what I paid for. So
yeah, that happens.
Yeah, yeah, that happens. Yeah, you know, it's really a lottery. Sometimes you're gonna have a batch of the sensors that will work forever and have no problem, and sometimes you're gonna have some that will not work or will just work for a few moments and then die on you. So, but it was a great experience. What I didn't say is that the LED stuff. I have two versions. I haven't decided yet which one I'm going to use. So one version will, as it's a round, so one version will gradually lit every LED. So the closer I am from the shelves, the more LED will be on, and going from green to red. And the other version is just goes from green to red, so it's the whole thing is lit, and I like both. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to add some fancy code and use one version at random. I don't know.
The way you were describing it with your fingers, I was thinking, if you have like the Debian symbol, that swirl, because that'd be pretty cool. The Debian swirl.
Yeah, that. Could do that if I would. Yeah, if I 3D print something like that and then have the LEDs in this form, maybe I can do that. Yeah.
See, for me, it'd be the OpenSUSE tail because it looks kind of the same, really.
Yeah. Two. Yes, that's true. That's true. So what I learned from this failure. I guess it's a failure because by the end of the weekend, I had exactly what I had at the beginning of the weekend, which is nothing.
But you learned something.
I did. Yes, I have knowledge. I don't have a product or a project, but I have knowledge. And from that knowledge, what I'm probably going to do is not use a ultrasonic sensor for this, but I'm probably going to use something that our friends from Pimeroni have in stock, and that's a WL53L1X. Whew, that's a fancy name. That's a low-powered laser. So that's going to be far more accurate and far more fast. Far more fast, yes, of course. A lot faster. This one, because the HS04 is only precise from 10 centimeter to 2.5 meter, with very strange precision. Sometimes it goes very wild. The VL53 L1X is precise from 4 centimeters to 4 meters. So I guess I'm pretty sure it can detect the door of my garage. So I think I can even use that to detect if the door is open. Sometimes I leave my house and the remote doesn't work or something goes wrong and the door stays open. It happened to me a few times that I came back home and the garage door was still open.
Was everything still in the garage?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yes, everything.
That's a bonus.
Yeah. I live in a small village and there's more farming animals than humans.
So you might have actually had things in your garage as opposed to things taken out of your garage. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
I got it.
Exactly.
Or things left behind in your garage.
That's a risk. I can find some animals in there.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure with
4 meters detection, I'm pretty sure I can detect that the garage door is open with that. So, and to drive this sensor, yes, I think I'm going to use a Raspberry Pi because why not? I have one that I recycled recently. It's an old Raspberry Pi Zero. It doesn't have Wi-Fi on it. It's the first edition of the Raspberry Pi. But I have a Wi-Fi dongle if I want to connect that to the internet. And I was thinking while I use a Raspberry Pi and I have some compute power, why not throw a temperature and air quality sensor in there, just for fun. Moisture.
This way if you have maybe, or like carbon monoxide sensor, you could probably put that in there. So if you've left your car running, you could have that go off,
Yes. Yeah.
Unless
exactly.
You have but you live in Europe, so is everything all electric now?
Yeah. No, it's not electric. It's a diesel.
Oh, okay. Oh, I like diesel. So, diesel's nice.
But what is it? It's nice to to know if the garage is minus 5 degrees. It usually means it's minus 15 outside because I have about 10 degrees Celsius difference between inside and outside the garage. So it could be nice to wake up, see that's minus 3 in the garage, and I know I have to go and walk the dog, so I can get prepared.
Yeah, for sure.
So so that's my that's my experiments of this week, of this fortnight.
Well, I like this. I'm looking at the data sheet on this sensor. And so it has a new term, for me anyway. It's has an S-pad, a single photon avalanche diode. I have no idea what that means, but it sounds cool. So, and then looking at the pinout diagram. I don't know have you gone down that bunny trail already?
Yeah.
So it has GPIO and X shut. I have no idea what that would be for. A couple of grounds. No, 3 grounds. 4 grounds. How many grounds are on there? 1, 2, 3. Anyway, and then I'm kind of curious about this. Okay, so there's supply. Huh. It's interesting. There's a lot more in and out on that than I would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Serial data. So I imagine it can actually probably give you the exact measurements then. You can even keep track of measurements.
Yeah, well,
So you could actually track what is your rate of deceleration as you don't hit the shelves.
Yes. And say, you're going to miss it.
Because you could then actually, if you're going too fast, you could have the LED start blinking and doing like crazy things, you know, like screaming at you or what, well, screaming how LEDs scream.
The fact that it's going to be driven by a Raspberry Pi opens up a lot of possibilities because, a lot more computing power than the single Node MCU. So
even a Pi Zero would be, you know, pretty fantastic, really.
Yeah.
We said you already had something.
The one I'm looking for is the Pimeroni breakout. So Pimeroni has this. Those breakout that they call that they have all the same formats, so they're very very small cards, and they work with the I2C protocol. So I could, in theory, use that with any microcontroller, but I'm going to go with the Raspberry Pi because it's sitting there, collecting dust anyway. So.
You know, I was thinking if you could integrate that with like a pixel matrix, you could even have like animate like one of those flight controllers. Maybe not flight controller, but that guy in the tarmac with the flags. What is that job called? You know, it's like if you're going too fast, maybe like throw his flags. Or if you're going to tie it back into Star Trek, you know, that alert effect, you know? Oh, look at that.
Yeah. I have this. So for the benefit of the podcast, I am showing, Nate, a 60, 32 by 32 LED matrix.
Nice.
That has a hat that goes on top, and so you can drive that with a Raspberry Pi. That's another Raspberry Pi Zero. That's a 0W actually. Nice. I have something like that. Yeah. So I can actually. That's a good idea. I can actually use that for, I can even display big numbers with the distance.
Or your speed.
I hate you. You're giving me too many good ideas. Now I'm going to stick with what I have. I'm going to find another use for this. So I have I actually have two displays. I had shown you previously my first display. This one. So I'm going to put pictures. So this one is a huge circle with only a small. A ring of translucent PLA, and the center is black. And I made another one, a smaller one, which is the exact opposite. The ring outside is black, and the whole thing is printed in clear PLA. So when this one lights, this one is the one I used to, just being a full circle from green to red. So I don't know which one I'm going to use. Maybe both. I don't know. Or maybe I'm going to make one for me and give the other one to my dad. Something like that. I don't know.
Well, it looks cool. Is that now, do you have your 3D printer that can print multiple materials then? You have a dual scooter?
Yeah. On the small one, the one that has the hole inside as a clear PLA. So this one is in multiple pieces, if I can open it. Okay. So there's the back, and then there's this there's just a clear circle that I can put in there. Okay, but the other one, the big one, I used a technique that I've learned online, and what I did is I printed the inside circle with black PLA, then I left that on the print bed. I changed the PLA and put the clear one. And without taking the first part out, I printed the clear PLA around. And when everything was finished and cold, it's one piece of PLA, and it melted. And when the hot end came around the already printed part, it melted it a little bit, and then the hot clear PLA melted with the black PLA, and now it's only one part. I'm going to put some pictures in the show notes, so if people want to see what I'm talking about, which is going to be a lot clearer when you see it, It's going to be on our website at makerscorner.tech.
Well, I'm excited to see it, actually. Now I want to see more about this, how you manipulate your 3D printer like that. That's pretty crazy.
Maybe I'm going to do a video for that later on. Right, Nate. What have you been up to this fortnight?
Well, life has been a little bit on the busy side, so I've been doing more maintenance type things in my life, not starting new projects, but trying to close stuff out. And one of those things on the list for February was moving my cubiclenate.com site from being hosted at wordpress.com. Not that there's anything wrong with them. They have been a great hosting provider, but going to being self-hosted. There's some things I want to be able to do now. Like, I've kind of grown beyond my current subscription with WordPress, and I want to have a little more flexibility. And I could have another hosting provider, but I'm going to go self-hosted. I'm going to, with DigitalOcean, to host the site. And also, I moved, so that hasn't happened yet. That's in process. I've had my list of knowledge gaps on this, and I'm working with Eric Adams, my DLN Extend co-host. Well, he really runs the show. I'm not going to lie. and then also, he, by his recommendation, he suggested I move my DNS registrar to Namecheap. So I moved to Namecheap. And at the same time, and this is where I broke everything, I changed from having a forwarding email to having a dedicated email account, like an actual account for whatever you email me at cubiclenate.com. So I broke my email for 3 days, so that was good. I didn't have any emails, so there's no junk mail. But
that's the good side.
that's the positive. But when I got that fixed, it's actually nice to have its own dedicated instead of a forward. But so whatever you email at cubiclenate.com, and you can put, you know, either me at cubiclenate.com, Nate, or, you know, you're kind of a loser at cubiclenate.com, and it'll all go to me, which is, you know, this is just a catch-all. Anyway, so I got that working, also with Eric Adams' help. My MX records were wrong, and I had something else that I did wrong. I did a lot of things wrong, beautifully wrong, and so that's why it was broken. And
that's how you learn.
Yeah. So now I know. Now I know what I, you know, won't do next time. So took notes. but it's very specific. I didn't know about those. I tried adding the MX records, but because there were already MX records in there, into the DNS that transferred over, that were part of the WordPress.com, that's kind of what screwed things up. Basically, that's what I did wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway, now that's fixed. I'm happy about that. The registrar has been transferred. It took like 5 days for that to go through.
Yeah, and then, that's kind of took. That takes. Yeah, that always takes a lot of time. I don't really understand why, because
I was kind of biting my nails for a little while. I was like, I don't know. Did I do something wrong? Always, am I going to mess this up?
It was unnerving, yeah.
But I do have cubiclenate.com is now registered until 2023. So, you know, that's good.
Very good.
So at least the site won't go away. Well, actually, I guess it could. The domain will be in my possession until then anyway.
Yeah.
Unless, you know. But, and then I have a series of knowledge gaps as far as going from being hosted by WordPress.com to being self-hosted. But, well, number one is I like numbers. Numbers excite me. I don't know why. Maybe I'm a nerd. But one is, can I export my metrics, like from like the visits and everything else? Is that exportable? Can I take that data and move it to being self-hosted, you know, that being a self-hosted site? I don't even know like how metrics are even done. Like, I don't know how they do those. And it's like Word Ads or the some Jetpack. I don't know anything about that and that stuff. So I have to figure out what it is that how that works. Do you use anything like that?
Yeah, I use Jetpack on all my WordPress sites, but I think it stores that in the database, but I'm not sure that WordPress.com actually stores their numbers in your database. I've never really used WordPress.com. Well, I did, but I've never moved one site from WordPress.com to being self-hosted. So, but yeah, I think Jetpack is actually storing this data in your database.
And I'm pretty sure I can pull the data out, but can I then take that data and put it in? So I don't know what the process is for that. I just, that's my knowledge gap that I have to figure out. So I noticed in all the pictures, the links to the pictures are all cubiclenate.wordpress.com and then some path. So I don't know how that, I'm sure that's an automatic process to go through. I mean, I don't know how that process happens either. That's another one of my knowledge gaps.
When I move WordPress, self-hosted WordPress sites, but you were hosted there. So cubiclenate.wordpress.com still exists, even though you were using cubiclenate.com as the main domain.
Right.
So I guess what you're going to have to do is transfer every file with some kind of FTP or SFTP thing, get them back, and then probably going to have to go through all your posts and change them manually.
Maybe. So I don't know how that works either. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of a search and replace.
You know how I would do that? I would get the SQL export from WordPress.com, which I believe you can get. Can you get your database? You have your.
I did see something that there is an export, a database export.
So if you export the database, you're going to end up with the SQL statements to recreate the database. And I would use something like Sublime Text and do a search and replace in that, and then import the updated SQL. That's what
hopefully
I would
that
do.
That works. But
yeah. Hopefully.
I've never done that before. I mean, I've done search and replace before, and I've looked at databases before, but I've never searched and replaced in a database that I'm looking at.
Well, you're not doing search replace in the database. You're doing the search and replace on the SQL that has been exported from WordPress.com. So changing the path in this dump and then importing the dump back in your self-hosted WordPress. That's what I would do, I guess, from the top of my head.
Okay. I wrote that down, so I won't forget.
The pygmy should need something.
Certainly. Anyway, so that's another bit of a knowledge gap. And then I've looked at the costs per month. I don't get but maybe, 1,500 to 2,000 views on my site per week, so not a whole lot. And so I don't need a lot of bandwidth for that, essentially. I don't need a lot. So it's going to be quite a bit cheaper to self-host it than it's going to be with DigitalOcean than it's going to be to continue with WordPress. And I'll have more features. And so if I want to add things or customize it more or whatever, I'll have that available to me as well.
DigitalOcean gives you a bunch of bandwidth with the with each droplet. Am I right?
So I won't have to worry about having like one of those higher bandwidth droplets because they'll have.
Which one did you get? Which droplet did you get?
Still working on that. I'm just still playing. I'm actually just playing with DigitalOcean right now. So we're not even at that point yet where I'm even experimenting. So I just spun up a machine with like Ubuntu 18.04. No. Yeah. OpenSUSE wasn't an option. But anyway, I can actually do my own. I think ISO.
Yeah, you could. That's what I was gonna say. I guess you could always get. Can you get a bear droplet and put
it
whatever
says
you want?
It says you can upload your own ISO. That's an option. Mm-hmm. I might try that. I'll be playing with it this week to kind of see how you do these things. I've never done anything with a VPS before, so we'll see how it goes.
So for Tear Grey Heart, my Star Trek podcast, in which you're going to be a guest on tomorrow's recording.
Again, a repeat. I'm a repeat.
Yeah, repeat. Yeah. we're using DigitalOcean. We have a $5 droplet for that. It's okay as long as there's nothing more than this website on it. I still have to reboot it regularly. Otherwise, there's the... I don't know if it's my WordPress install that goes wrong or something, but I noticed that now that I reboot it automatically every night or every two nights, I don't remember. I have no problem at all. We don't have a lot of views either, so I guess a $5 or $10 droplet should be good for what you want to do with it. Just keep an eye on the metrics and you'll be good.
Okay. And then, because I have, right, I'm spending $8 a month and I got like a little deal or whatever. I have 13 gigabytes of storage and it looks like what DigitalOcean has is a better, it has more upward mobility anyway. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
If it's, it's my first foray into playing in this, you know, being like a real nerd, not like a fake nerd that I have been, you know? So this is kind of exciting.
Cool. And I think there are some stuff that you can't do on WordPress.com, like installing whatever plugin you want, or?
Correct. That's really the reason I want to move off, because I don't want to spend $25 a month just so I can have the plugins I want. That's just not.
Yeah.
I don't get that kind of traffic. You know, like things I do have a Mastodon account, so I would like to be able to automatically publish to that, and I can't. And I don't care about Facebook. I just care about Twitter and Mastodon right now. And I would Google Plus, but I think that's dead.
That's dead, sank.
Went by the way of the Lost City of Atlantis.
Yeah, so as makers, as I was telling you before the show, we always want to show the world what we're doing. So installing WordPress, which is probably the most used website engine, we can call that.
Yeah, something like that.
In the world is great. It's an open source software, free and open source. It's backed by Automattic, which is a big company. So there's probably no risk that WordPress disappears anytime soon. They're always making updates. They're very concerned about security. I don't know about privacy. I think that it respects your privacy on self-hosted instances. Except of course, just once you install Jetpack, then which is a link between WordPress.com and your website, and it uses some resources of WordPress.com. So it does send some data, but they say they don't use it for they don't resell it. So there's no reason not to believe them. So I love WordPress. Sometimes I tell myself, well, I'm going to try something else, and I always come back to WordPress because it just works.
Right, and that's, I like it. I like the format. I like how I can move, you know, I can nest, you know, pages and such. And there's very little I dislike about it. So I would rather just continue to use it as opposed to learn something else that I may not like. So.
Yeah,
I don't want one of those static web pages. I know those are all the rage right now. Like, no, I have a static blog. I'm like, nah, I don't really care.
I tried that, but I don't know. I love WordPress. I just wanted to come back on your catch all email stuff, and you said you can write whoever at cubiclink.com. Did you try to get your phone to get on your phone and send? A copy paste an emoji from any application and then use that as the email address. So smiley face at quickenlet.com.
Because I'm gonna have to try that now.
We've tried that with some domains with Dave. We tried that and it actually works.
Nice.
On some email client, when you receive the email, it shows you the smiley. I guess if it knows what smiley is, so if it's on the same platform, I guess from one mobile to another mobile, it should be okay. And on some other platform, it will give you some question marks, equals, things like that, like a URL encoded stuff. Yeah.
There's a term for whatever it.
Yeah, probably.
Text it is.
There's a term for anything.
I can't remember. There's a term for everything. That's true.
Where did
I don't know all my grammar.
Yeah. Well, I was looking for my phone, but I can't find it. So it's probably somewhere. I've abandoned it somewhere. Ah, it's there. I was going to try live to send you an email. But you know, it's not very interesting for our listeners. So I'm going to do that later. Yeah, so keep us in posted about your progress on this project.
Yeah, I basically have a deadline. That's I want my WordPress.com account to renew at the end of next month. So I want to get this done here in the next couple weeks. Okay. And Eric Adams, who is a web technologist, you know, that's his thing. So he actually also said he would help me out with that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, having this done and, you know, maybe saving a couple bucks and having some more features.
Yeah,
you know,
sure. And then you can
that features that really don't matter to anybody but me.
Yeah. And then you can spend those saved bucks on more equipment.
Node MCUs. Yeah.
For example, yeah. Or Tiny Pico, as we saw
yes.
in the last episode. Yeah. 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 I'm going to have to try that one day. Yeah. So anything else you wanted to report this fortnight?
So my light display, I had a spiral light around my pole and that died. Mm-hmm. And I'm down to, I think that it's this module here, which is fine because I want to replace this module anyway. I already had to tape it together once when it was mm-hmm. brand new. But so this has actually pushed me over the edge that I need to take my little Node MCU and I need to have this power my rope lights. And I'm looking at the pinouts here. Not here. The other side. Actually, it actually has wait, where is it? Somewhere here on one of these, it tells you what everything is. But this has 5 pins, and I was only expecting 3. So,
yeah.
I don't know. This doesn't fit any of the other, tutorials I've seen.
What it could be that it has 2 grounds to VCC, 2 grounds, 2 powers, and 1 data. That's I've seen that already on some strips.
I see.
For some stream regions.
It has RGB and WW and something.
So it's, you can have 1 red one. So it's controlled with pulse width modulation, PWM. So okay. If you send, let's say it's a 12 volt, strand, and if you send 12 volt on the red line, the red line, and ground and VCC, then you're gonna have a red LEDs and 12 volt on the red and the blue, and you're gonna have some purple and things like that. And if you want to, lower the intensity, then you lower the voltage, something like that, probably.
Something like that, yeah. And there's a program out there for the. For the style I have above my head. But so that, I mean, so I got that, but then I'm not sure which ones line up with which pins. So anyway, so I have to figure this part out here as far as, as that goes. Now I'll send a picture with this for the, for the show notes as well. So if somebody which is pretty much the entire hive mind of the internet is smarter than me on this, they can help advise me which pins I should care about. So
yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Great. We're going to put that in the show notes. So head over to makerscorner.tech and help Nate with this light.
Tell me everything I need to know. Anything I need to know.
Right. I wanted to introduce a new section in this episode. Maybe it's going to last for one episode. Maybe it's going to last for many episodes. And that's the Thingiverse thing of the episode. So for those who don't know,
Thingiverse is... I like this segment.
the Thingiverse is a website where you can find 3D objects. I was going to say things to 3D print, but it's not necessarily for 3D printing. Most of them are for either FDM printing or resin printing, but sometimes you just find 3D models of objects that are very difficult to print. But yeah, I've put one link. It's called the Origami Carabiner by ddf3d.com. So it's one of those things, you know, one of those hooks that you know, you hang your keys or whatever, and then you quickly put that on your backpack or on your trousers and things like that. So I did one because, well, my daughter asked for it. So, you know, when children ask, who am I to say no? So I did print that. I just thought, well, would be glad to share that with the world. So, yeah, I printed it. It looks pretty sturdy. It says in the description that it could hold 15 to 35 kilograms of load. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm too confident in that. But I'm pretty sure if I was looking on YouTube, someone must have tried that. So, but yeah, for what my daughter is going to do with it, that's play with it for a week and then, you know, forget about it.
Toss it.
It's good enough.
I like the shape of it.
Yeah, and the colors they have on the website.
The shape of it has a really neat kind of a. It looks like it could be like a part of a transformer or something, you know, with all those like the sharp angles and the way things are, you know, the lines.
Yeah, I printed it at 100% size, and it's very big. So I guess I'm going to print a couple of those at 50%. It will be good enough. You know, maybe I'm going to. When I was younger, I used to have one of those at on my pants with my keys hanging from them and walk around school all day long with my keys hanging. But yeah, well.
I have a carabiner I've had on my keys. I have a key ring. It's a on a lanyard. I've actually had the same lanyard for 20 years. I've been using the same lanyard. And the carabiner is only, I found the carabiner later because the original hook on it basically gave out. But the fabric from the carabiner is fine. And I've never washed it. And I've gone to many countries with it. So it originally was a yellow color with black writing on it. Now it's kind of a brown with black writing. And I'm thinking, you know, I've got probably about 7, 8, maybe 10 different countries dirt on this. Maybe I should wash it. And I thought, no. No, I want all that. No. I want all those that international dirt, you know, to hang out on my carabiner. So it's one of a kind. I'm sure there's nobody else in the world that has one like this.
Yeah. So that was the Thingiverse thing of the episode for this fortnight. Who knows if maybe there's gonna be another one in the next episode. But I guess I have a couple of those that I printed that I like. So I'm going to make that a thing.
A verse.
Yeah. good one. Well, I guess we have reached almost the end of this episode. Do you have anything else you want to add before we do our usual housekeeping?
No, that's I think that's great. I'm hoping to do some more Fusion 360 videos. I'm actually working on one myself. But
good.
That paused because I've got other things to fix now, like my website. But I look forward to any more videos like that you publish. And maybe you should. I was thinking because the thing what you designed last. Have you put that on Thingiverse?
Which one? The box.
Yeah, the box. Yeah, the box.
No, but I can put it on Thingiverse. Yes.
Because then we can feature that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
But I'll bring it up so it doesn't sound so pretentious.
Yeah, okay. That works. Right, thank you everyone who downloaded our previous episode and for the kind feedback we received. We really appreciate it. You can get in contact with us by sending an email at feedback@makerscorner.tech or by following us on Twitter. We are @makerscornerpod. If you want to chat with us in a more lively fashion, you can join our Telegram group at t.me/makerscornerpod. Unless otherwise stated, this episode is released under a Creative Commons by Attribution share-alike license, which means you can pretty much do whatever you want with it as long as you credit us as the original authors. And if you publish anything based on this episode, you have to release it under the same license. Well, that's it for this episode. We will be back in 2 weeks, hopefully with an interview of John and Phil from Pimeroni about the 32-bit platform. Thank you, Nate, for joining me once again.
It was fun. I like it.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care, everybody. We will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. Ciao, ciao.
See you.